30. "Mr. Arthur, honey," said Atticus, gently correcting me. "Jean Louise, this is Mr. Arthur Radley. I believe he already knows you." If Atticus could blandly introduce me to Boo Radley at a time like this, well, that was Atticus. Boo saw me run instinctively to the bed where Jim was sleeping, for the same shy smile crept across his face. Hot with embarrassment, I tried to cover up by covering Jim up. "Uh-uh, don't touch him," Atticus said. Mr. Heck Tate sat looking intently at Boo through his horn-rimmed glasses. He was about to speak when Dr. Reynolds came down the hall. "Everybody out," he said as he came in the door. "Evening, Arthur. Didn't notice you the first time I was here." Dr. Reynolds' voice was as breezy as his step, as though he had said it every evening of his life, an announcement that astounded me even more than being in the same room with Boo Radley. Of course, even Boo Radley got sick sometimes, I thought. But on the other hand, I wasn't sure. Dr. Reynolds was carrying a big package wrapped in newspaper. He put it down on Jim's desk and took off his coat. "You're quite satisfied he's alive now?" "Tell you how I knew. When I tried to examine him, he kicked me. Had to put him out good and proper to touch him. So scat," he said to me. Said Atticus, glancing at Boo. "Heck, let's go out on the front porch. There are plenty of chairs out there, and it's still warm enough." I wondered why Atticus was inviting us to the front porch instead of the living room. Then I understood. The living room lights were awfully strong. We filed out. First, Mr. Tate. Atticus was waiting at the door for him to go ahead of him. Then he changed his mind and followed Mr. Tate. People have a habit of doing everyday things, even under the oddest conditions. I was no exception. "Come along, Mr. Arthur," I heard myself saying. "You don't know the house real well. I'll just take you to the porch, sir." He looked down at me and nodded. I led him through the hall and past the living room. "Won't you have a seat, Mr. Arthur? This rocking chair's nice and comfortable." My small fantasy about him was alive again. He would be sitting on the porch. "Right pretty spell we're having, isn't it, Mr. Arthur?" Yes, a right pretty spell. Feeling slightly unreal, I led him to the chair farthest from Atticus and Mr. Tate. It was in deep shadow. Boo would feel more comfortable in the dark. Atticus was sitting in the swing, and Mr. Tate was in a chair next to him. The light from the living room windows was strong on them. I sat beside Boo. "Well, heck," Atticus was saying, "I guess the thing to do..." Good Lord, I'm losing my memory. Atticus pushed up his glasses and pressed his fingers to his eyes. "Jim's not quite 13. "No, he's already 13. I can't remember. Anyway, it'll come before county court." "What will, Mr. Finch?" Mr. Tate uncrossed his legs and leaned forward. "Of course, it was clear-cut self-defense, but I'll have to go to the office and hunt up..." "Mr. Finch, do you think Jim killed Bob Yule? Do you think that?" "You heard what Scout said. There's no doubt about it. She said Jim got up and yanked him off her. He probably got hold of Yule's knife somehow in the dark. We'll find out tomorrow." "Mr. Finch, hold on," said Mr. Tate. "Jim never stabbed Bob Yule." Atticus was silent for a moment. He looked at Mr. Tate as if he appreciated what he said. But Atticus shook his head. "Heck, it's mighty kind of you. And I know you're doing it from that good heart of yours. But don't start anything like that." Mr. Tate got up and went to the edge of the porch. He spat into the shrubbery, then thrust his hands into his hip pockets and faced Atticus. "Like what?" he said. "I'm sorry if I spoke sharply, Heck," Atticus said simply, "but nobody's hushing this up. I don't live that way."
"Nobody's going to hush anything up, Mr. Finch."
Mr. Tate's voice was quiet, but his boots were planted so solidly on the porch floorboards, it seemed that they grew there. A curious contest, the nature of which eluded me, was developing between my father and the sheriff. It was Atticus's turn to get up and go to the edge of the porch. He said, "Huh," and spat dryly into the yard. He put his hands in his pockets and faced Mr. Tate.
"Heck, you haven't said it, but I know what you're thinking. Thank you for it."
"Jean Louise," he turned to me, "you said Jim yanked Mr. Yule off you?"
"Yes, sir. That's what I thought. I..."
"See there, Heck? Thank you from the bottom of my heart. But I don't want my boy starting out with something like this over his head. Best way to clear the air is to have it all out in the open. Let the county come and bring sandwiches. I don't want him growing up with a whisper about him. I don't want anybody saying, 'Jim Finch, his daddy paid a mint to get him out of that.' Sooner we get this over with, the better."
"Mr. Finch," Mr. Tate said stolidly, "Bob Yule fell on his knife. He killed himself."
Atticus walked to the corner of the porch. He looked at the wisteria vine. In his own way, I thought, each was as stubborn as the other. I wondered who would give in first. Atticus's stubbornness was quiet and rarely evident, but in some ways he was as set as the Cunninghams. Mr. Tate's was unschooled and blunt, but it was equal to my father's.
"Heck," Atticus's back was turned, "if this thing's hushed up, it'll be a simple denial to Jim of the way I've tried to raise him. Sometimes I think I'm a total failure as a parent, but I'm all they've got. Before Jim looks at anyone else, he looks at me, and I've tried to live so I can look squarely back at him. If I connived at something like this, frankly, I couldn't meet his eye, and the day I can't do that, I'll know I've lost him. I don't want to lose him and Scout, because they're all I've got."
"Mr. Finch." Mr. Tate was still planted to the floorboards. "Bob Yule fell on his knife. I can prove it." Atticus wheeled around. His hands dug into his pockets. "Heck, can't you even try to see it my way? You've got children of your own, but I'm older than you. When mine are grown, I'll be an old man if I'm still around. But right now, if they don't trust me, they won't trust anybody. Jim and Scout know what happened. If they hear of me saying downtown something different happened, heck, I won't have them anymore. I can't live one way in town and another way in my home."